Welcome to the Magnificent Obsession Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Coming your way on each episode, you'll be encouraged in your faith as you listen to testimonials, teaching, and interviews. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and why don't you like Magnificent Obsession Podcast Facebook page? And now your host, Danny Miller.
Yeah, once again, great to be with you. It really is. Thank you so much for checking this out, The Magnificent Obsession. I'm Danny Miller, and let's get straight into it, because I've got a question for you once again. Do you like making lists? That's right. That's my question, the list. In fact, as I think about that, I'm reminded of one of my favorite TV shows, which is The Office, the US Office, with Steve Carell. And I love many scenes that are very funny, many quotes and sayings that my wife and I kind of use on each other. We know exactly what we're talking about. Many people around us may not, especially if they haven't watched or followed the comedy The Office. However, love that program and really enjoyed it. So the reason I mention that is because I love the scene with Steve Carell, Michael Scott, and Jim when they're office managers. There we have all seems well when things are well, but when there's pressure, when there's issues going on, there can be some clashes. I love the discussion between Michael Scott and Jim in who's going to do what, delegating the responsibilities, organizing, and they want to make a list. Michael Scott is quite fed up with the list, but Jim insists on let's make a list. A list of the staff, the names of the staff and who deserves what when it came to bonuses for that quarter or that end of that financial year. There's many times we need to make a list. What about the wedding day? What about planning your wedding? There's lists of people, lists of relatives, lists of friends on who you're going to invite. Ah, yes, but when it's per head and the certain amount, it's also about who not to invite. Yes, that can be quite sensitive, but there is also a list. I want to take a few moments to talk about the list or a list. I'm reminded of Billy Graham. Billy Graham, one of the greatest 20th century evangelists. Now, it's been a little while, a couple of years since he passed away, went home to be with the Lord, born in 1918, passed away in 2018. I want to share this because I find this rather interesting. He died on Wednesday, the 21st of February, the day before. On Tuesday, the 20th of February, he wrote his final social media post. And this is his last words. He wrote, so this is the day before he went home to be with the Lord. He shared, "If you went for a walk in the woods, but then decided to wander off the path and found yourself surrounded by a thicket of thorns and poison ivy, who would you blame? Would you blame the person who built the path? No. Of course not. Instead, you'd blame yourself if you were honest, because you alone were responsible for wandering from the path." He goes on to say, in a far deeper way, this is what happens when we decide to leave God out of our lives. For a time, it may seem like wandering away from Him doesn't seem to make any difference. It may even seem easier and freer, but eventually it catches up with us. Just as wandering off the path and into the thicket caught up with you. Billy Graham wrote that, his last journal that he entered. Well, did he write this with someone in mind? And maybe a name of someone who once walked with Jesus? And the reason I share that with you is because this reminds me of the Apostle Paul's final writing. For Billy Graham, that was his final writing. But what about Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Let me read this out to you, because he wrote a list. There were a list of names, there were a list of people, and I just want to share about some of these names. He wrote this, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who would judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, to preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. The Apostle Paul, he goes on to say, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens now for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defence no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. The Lord is faithful, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen. As I read these things from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, I don't detect any bitterness. I don't pick up remorse or regret. He goes on to say, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I've run the race. This is Paul in Rome. But one thing that did cause heartbreak for the Apostle Paul, he said his greatest pain is over the former companion in the faith, Demas. Demas, forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas is mentioned three times in the Bible. Philemon, verse 24, Demas, known as my fellow labourer. Colossians 4, just as Demas and Luke send greetings, implying that they may have served together. And then we come to 2 Timothy 4, because then came the news. After him being known as my fellow labourer, and then Demas and Luke together, they send their greetings to the brethren. But then in 2 Timothy 4, then came the news, forsaken me, loving the broad, wide, attractive, comfortable path than this narrow road. How sad. What a waste. Did he return? Was there restoration? I'm a believer in restoration. And there's many in scripture. I mean, from King David down to Jonah, there's many. Peter, many, many. As with myself and many others, there's been mistakes. Things have got in the way. However, their calling wasn't abandoned. They returned. But what about Demas? We do not know. We know that Demas abandoned Paul in a time of need. Kind of left him in the lurch. Not just abandoned his calling and ministry, but actually left Paul. You can tell, you can pick up, you can read and sense in his writings that this was a cause of deep sorrow for Paul. Not just the afflictions, really, or the persecution, but it was his friend and colleague Demas that he had entrusted. What caused such a heartbreak? Why did Demas leave for Thessalonica? I mean, Thessalonica, that's nearly 1,000 miles from Rome. He suddenly wanted to get away, didn't he? And there were no flights in those days. So there's a lot of planning. And he really wanted to get away. Was it fear? Was it out of relationship gone wrong? Was there sin? Was there apathy or pride? He began well, but it didn't end, as far as we know, too well. Many begin well, don't they? Having so much promise, so much potential, but now nowhere to be found. DJ host and there's a speaker, Les Brown. He said, the graveyard is the richest place on earth because it is here that you will find all the hopes and dreams that were never fulfilled. The books that were never written, the songs that were never sung, the inventions that were never shared, the cures that were never discovered, all because someone was too afraid to take that first step. keep with the problem, or determine to carry out their dream. Fewer things that break the heart, that sees people with every reason to succeed, but yet choose a different path. It's a big path to choose, isn't it? You can't avoid it. I do remember as a pastor, I had a little meeting with a young man in the church, and he had such potential, especially an evangelist. In fact, he went out accompanied like a Timothy to a Paul with one or two people in my church who were speaking or holding crusades, and he accompanied them, seeing firsthand the things of God. There were some struggles. There were some challenges that were going on in his life, and it wasn't easy for him, but there were some decisions that needed to be made. I remember having a chat with him, pulling him aside and bringing him into a room, myself, and there was another church leader, and the three of us were having a chat with him. And I said to him, I do remember, I said, look, choose this day, because from this moment, there's a course that you can go down. You can stay in the arms of church where you're loved, where there's a shepherd, there are people around you, you have good, healthy company, you can have that environment, that culture where you will thrive and grow. And when there's things that are difficult and challenging, you're not on your own. You can grow, your faith will grow. Sit under the worship, sit under the preaching, grow in your faith, build up the inner man, stir up the gifts that are within you, but not on your own. Or you can choose that path where maybe it's calling out to you, where we will be praying for you, but where will you go? What will you be doing? He chose the latter, sadly. And that was very sad. I think about 3 months later, I did get the news that he had died. We all have choices to make. And I know that's what comes to mind at the moment. There's many times I've had discussions with people, and many choose that path to come under that authority, come under that spiritual teaching and covering, and see them get planted and deeply rooted, where they grow and are nurtured and then fulfill the things of God in their lives, the call of God in their lives. But what happened to Demas? We do not know. Philip Brooks, he once said, the deeper depths of sorrow and the higher heights of joy, they go together. If you're listening to this in the way that you've been a Christian for a while, or you're in leadership, pastor, any forms of responsibility within the church, you will know that the deeper depths of sorrow and the higher heights of joy do indeed go together. People sometimes ask me, what type of season you're having? Is it good? Is it mountaintop, or is it valleys? I don't know if those things actually exist. And I'm not trying to be different to everyone else, but I've not really known where, even on the mountaintop experience, where things are growing. I mean, pastoring and being involved in ministries that are flourishing, thriving, growing, multiplying, and having my hand on all that and watching over. But yet it's always parallel with challenges, whether it's labor, finances, difficult decisions to make, repositioning people, dealing with change. Now, that's a list in itself. And it's endless. But in the midst of growth and success and victory and multiplication, parallel with that are the challenges, are the difficult decisions. So there's never one without the other. Even on mountaintops, I'm not sure about the mountaintop or the valley. It's just the greater the responsibility, there was sometimes the greater the challenges. However, it's not about paperwork or making those decisions. It is about people. And that's what broke Paul's heart when it came to people like Demas. You hear, you read about this pioneer of the faith, the great leader of the early church, a man of God who recognizes his need for fellowship, for encouragement. He was yearning for fellowship. He wrote, didn't he? I yearn to see you. Do your best to see me before winter. Going back to Billy Graham, he once said, we need each other. And when we cut ourselves off from other believers, our spiritual lives are weaker and incomplete. There are 17 names mentioned in this passage. Names of those who had encouraged him, stood faithfully with him. So let's bring this home. Don't be a name like Demas, where the comfort of this present world clouded the beauty of his holiness and the newness of life. The New Living Translation in 2 Timothy 4 verse 10, it says, Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. He wasn't the first, was he? We have read in scripture about Esau. He sold out his birthright for what? A pot of stew. Samson, he compromised his strength, didn't he, for temporal lust. The rich man in Mark 10, he walked away from Jesus, unable to let go of the material things that just turn to rust? And then we have Demas, abandoned this apostle for the things of this world. Well, when many may abandon the apostle Paul, where would you have appeared on that list? Would you have stayed faithful? Would you have stayed with him? I do want to remind you, there are the lives of Jonah and Peter, the reconciliation, the healing, the returning, even the prodigal son in Luke 15. He came to himself. He suddenly realized, didn't he? What am I doing? I just want to get back to the presence of my father. Even if I end up in the servants' quarters, let me just be in that the grounds of his presence. Well, as we know, God the Father, he's got greater plans than that. Bigger plans, not just in the servants' quarters. Come back home. And it doesn't stop there, did it? It's like, let's get the ring back on your finger. Let's put the cloak on. Let's celebrate with a fatted calf. Let's get the shoes on your feet. There's always more. There's more available than what you're in right now. Let's put our hand to the plow. Let's dust ourselves off from regret, maybe from disappointment. And let's finish the race. As Paul said, let's fight the good fight. Let's keep the faith. And let's be on that list with our name of being faithful and stand with those around us and have a good name. God bless you.
This has been the Magnificent Obsession Podcast with your host, Danny Miller. Thank you for listening.